FM Breakfast with KC. All the latest things.
It is 10 past 7 in the morning. Welcome to the 21st of January. To be fair, Jan is kind of flying by now, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
You know, just get this week out of the way. 1 week to go and then we're... I'll tell you what, we are only 2 months away from 8 p.m. sunsets.
Wow.
Okay, because the clocks are going forward much earlier this year. Okay. Clocks will go forward this year at... let me see, what date have we got here? The 29th of March.
Yeah.
You know?
And what's the line used by everyone?
What's... I don't know.
There's a grand stretch.
Oh, the stretch would be... Yeah. When you can drop the grand stretch line, you know we're flying. We're heading into the proper time of the year.
Yeah.
Also, it's 2 days until The Traitors finale. It's BBC One in a couple of days for those of you that have been obsessed with that show. Today is International Squiddle Appreciation Day. If you appreciate a squirrel...
Oh.
Yeah, the red ones or the grey ones. Which ones are the invasive ones?
I don't know.
I think the red ones are the Irish lads and then the grey ones came over on a boat a few years ago. There's always war between the two of them.
There is, yeah.
Very serious. Anyway, happy International Squirrel Day. Squirrel Appreciation Day.
Say squirrel.
Squiddle.
What are you... Say squirrel.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Go on.
Squirrel.
Oh yeah, that's it.
No, but in Limerick they call it a squiddle.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
A squiddle.
A squiddle.
Look at that lovely squiddle.
Never knew that, lads.
Yeah.
There you go.
Up the Limerick crew. Cork City Council is looking for new tenants to set up stalls in the English market.
Oh, cool.
Two well-placed units up for grabs in Grand Parade. If you have a business and you think you could make some money in the Grand Parade, they want to hear from you this morning.
You could do your bread.
My brown bread stall.
That is so nice, that bread.
Oh, or I could sell footballs.
All right. Okay. Random, but okay.
Yeah, why not?
Why are you selling footballs and bread?
And call it Stall the Ball.
Ah, very good.
Or Diggers. Stall the Digger Boy. Anyway, they're looking for people to sign up. If you have a business and you want to be in the English market, I mean, the footfall there is huge.
Yeah.
But you can just have a look at the Cork City Council looking for new tenants.
And it's on the Grand Parade side, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So get involved in that. This is interesting. McDonald's have introduced in America.
Yeah.
Which means it'll be over here in no time. It's a €300 equivalent wedding package to be delivered to your wedding.
What?
So it provides you with 100 boxes of nuggets, chips, cheeseburgers, whatever you want. It's like
someone's going to go for that.
Oh, you know it. But maybe it's, you know, the bit at a wedding where everyone is kind of like, oh, bring out the sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's 11 o'clock at night.
It is.
This is when Mackie D's will arrive on a forklift.
Yeah, yeah.
And drop off your wedding packages they're now doing, everybody. That's fantastic. Can I tell you how to make £1 million very easily?
Go on.
How do you make £1 million doing nothing?
I love this. It's not sitting on the jacks again, is it?
No, I will give you... I am the Del Boy of radio. I will give you the most money-making schemes you've ever heard
of.
It's up to you to do whatever you want with it.
Okay.
There are two ways you can make £1 million. And one of them, a lady in America did this years ago, 20, 30 years ago maybe. She put an ad in the local newspaper and she took out a quarter page.
Right.
And it said, if you want to become a millionaire... Send me £20 and I'll tell you how to do it. So send me $20.
Okay.
All right? So thousands of people...
Sent $20
to this P.O. box office.
Yeah, she got $1 million.
And she replied back with, this is how you do it.
That's so cool, isn't it?
It's that simple. This is how you do it. Try that in the Echo, see how you get on. Send me £20, I'll show you how to become a millionaire. This is how you do it. All legal, all above board.
Wow.
The other way you can do it... is stick something on YouTube and wait for 10 years. This fella has made over £1 million by putting up a video that was put up 10 years ago.
Of?
One video, he monetized it, and what's the video? It's a video of, I guarantee you, you've watched it, I've watched it, everyone's used it.
Is it how to use a certain toy?
No, there's nothing. It's just a fireplace. It's a flickering fireplace.
Oh, is that him?
He was the first guy to put up a 10-hour fireplace in 4K. He put it up 10 years ago. It's had something like close on 100, 200 million views.
Oh my God.
And it's earned him over £1 million
wow.
in view royalty on YouTube. You know,
yes,
when people...
Is it that simple?
But if you just hit right at the right time. So, yeah, there you go. Upload a picture of a turf. No one's put up a proper turf fire.
No, they have...
An Irish turf fire.
We need to trademark that now straight away.
Why do I say things out loud?
I know.
A dad gag pilot.
Yeah.
Co-pilot.
Yeah.
Brother in arms.
Yeah.
All right, it's happening, everybody. Dad gags live, which is going to be happening at the legendary comedy club. Now, as we mentioned, there's been a... There's been a lot of happiness around the announcement around Dad Gags Live, a lot of joy, and the reason we're doing it, of course, is to raise money for an incredible charity, but there's been some people that have been a little bit upset.
I know, we're seven.
Morning, guys. How do I explain to my 8-year-old son that he can't go to the live Dad Gags gig? He loves them every time they're on. He even repeats them to other people. And I'm like, no, sorry, no kids allowed.
I feel bad now.
I feel upset.
Make him a fake ID.
Yeah.
It's the option. Yeah. That's what I do.
Pending the success of this one, you should do an under 18.
I think a kid's.
We've got to do a kid's one.
And all they have to get up and do their jokes.
Oh,
well.
We'll make it all about the kids.
Yeah.
Without doubt. That will be our next project. So, Little People of Cork, Dad Gag fans, we promise there'll be something for you eventually. We promise.
Yes.
All right.
You know, I love an old dating trend every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to love this one. This one has created a dating app, and she's doing something completely different. She's turning the dating world on her head. Her voice is going to go through you, and I apologize.
All right.
But have a listen.
After I said I would require a deposit to take me on a date to cover my date preparation costs, I'm now working with an app developer to make this a reality. This is actually happening. We are building the app. I'm not even exaggerating when I tell you this is the best damn dating app you have ever seen, because there is a clear difference here where the woman can set the deposit rate and the man can pay for her date preparation costs. So as a woman, you're going to walk into the date already so happy, and that's going to lead to a better date and a better connection, and that gives the man a better chance of succeeding in courting you. The app is called Courted. So when people ask, how did you meet? You can say, he courted me. So cute.
Courted. You pay a deposit to bring somebody on a date. The lads put down money, 500 quid maybe. That means you go get a new Guna, get the hair did, and you arrive very happy. How do we feel about that, everybody?
Date preparation.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
This is like the dartboard haircuts in Galway, no?
It's,
then
yeah.
Your price.
Yeah. Which you're also hoping to score at.
That is, I
it's
can't even.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
what do you think, Kel? Kel's...
No.
No.
What about the man's date preparation costs?
He might have got a new Ralph Lauren shirt.
And a bazaar and, you know, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
And what else?
Oh, no, I think
after
that's...
Shave.
I think it. That's
good. The three S's and you're out the door. Well, you've nothing else to think about, do we? Shower, shave. All right, see you at 8 o'clock, love. Red FM
Breakfast. With KC. Love waking up in Cork.
Tate McRae on Red FM.
Six VIPs on Cork's Red FM.
Yes, here we go.
Okay.
It's IFTA news all over the place. Cork has just absolutely dominated the Irish Film and TV Awards. And Jamie the King.
Oh.
Jamie's going to
legend.
Jamie's going to be with us later on this morning. For his role in Christie, the big actors and the well-known actors and the people that are, you know, part of this, it's all lovely that they all get little nods because they've been outstanding. But when someone like Jamie, a kid in a wheelchair from up the north side, who's part of the cabin crew, who's just the most phenomenal, positive kid you'll ever meet, and everything that he's been through in life, and you just see him getting a nod for his acting, and he's not really done that before.
It's brilliant.
He is just as raw and as talented and
he's
as brilliant.
So talented.
Yeah, it's just so good. But it's big things for Jamie.
I'll just give you a quick rundown there on the IFTAs, just so we know where we are. These came out kind of just as we were finishing our show yesterday. So as you said, Christie has scored loads of nominations: best film, best director, best breakout star in Daniel Power as best actor. Just behind Christie then in second place with 12 nominations is Saipan.
Yep.
Obviously the study of tensions between Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy before the 2002 FIFA World Cup in Japan. Aina Hardwick and Steve Coogan also scoring nominations there. Then we have in the best actor lineup also Cillian Murphy for Steve, Daniel Day-Lewis for Annam, and Colin Farrell for Ballad of a Small Player. That completes the six nominations for Best Actor. Then lead actress in film nominations include, of course, the great Jessie Buckley for her emotive performance in Hamlet, and Kerry Condon for Formula One. And then lead actor in a drama category nominations include Donal Gleeson for The Paper, Anthony Boyle for his portrayal of Arthur Guinness in The House of Guinness, and Pierce Brosnan for crime series Mobland.
Lovely. Well
done, guys.
I can't wait.
Yeah. They're taking place, by the way, in Dublin on February
February the 20th. So we have to wait a little while for those awards. But I can't wait to see how everyone gets on there. Obviously, as we said, the news dominating everything today is the statement released by Brooklyn Beckham on Instagram yesterday, the six-pager.
This is going to go on for a while, by the way, everyone.
I think so.
Strap in.
Yeah, the papers are full of it, but I was interested to hear comedian Catherine Ryan's take. She has a podcast, and she gave her view yesterday. Have a listen to this.
Okay, take it away, Catherine.
He really believes that he's been hard done by. Fine. And he's always seemed like a really nice kid. But there comes a point in your life where if you really want to stand on your own two feet and be a grown up, you also have to extend grace to your parents. It was very difficult for his parents growing up in the public eye as much as they were. If Brooklyn thinks that he's in the public eye, imagine what it was like for Victoria and David. When cheating allegations came out, when they first started dating, they'd be papped everywhere. When Victoria was pregnant, when Brooklyn was born and she was blinded by paparazzi flashes, they had to choose with the best information that they had available to them at the time as new young parents. They had to navigate that world and they thought, all right, here's how I'm going to do it. And I will include my family because I want to spend time with my family. And I will share images of my children. And then maybe the paparazzi won't chase us as much. And I will build futures for my children on the Beckham name. And then hopefully they will have an easier time in life.
Someone is making a great point here.
Yeah.
And hello to our regular buddy at this hour of the morning. He will sell his story for millions like Megan.
It has all the hallmarks.
Is that what he's playing at? He's ramping up to a Netflix script or something.
Well, another commentator yesterday was saying this is literally like the rollout of the Harry and Meghan debacle.
Yeah, yeah.
It has all the hallmarks of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd wonder if that's the way they're going to go.
Spoilt rich children.
Now you have
with
it.
With no cop on.
I think so.
Yeah.
I wonder if the general consensus around the world is that, or are there people that are firmly in his camp saying, yeah, he's right, and yeah, his parents were in the wrong? I'd be interested to know what the general consensus is.
You look at the menu of, they're not even allegations. They're like, they're little tiny tiffs that would happen in any family.
Now you have it.
You come into my house and take the last five chocolate digestives out of the press that belong to the oldest teenager.
Carnage.
We'll find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's actually it.
But it's the same in every family. There's always quarrels and there's always a bit of like. But kids can be, if your kids, and they always say this at home, if your kids are angsty and cranky and they can shout and give out and they're fighting with you all the time, that's actually a healthy place for them to be in.
Right.
Because they're so comfortable in their own home, so comfortable around you that they can be themselves and express it that way. So that's actually healthy, even though it's hard to put up with sometimes.
It is, but no, you're right. That's a good way of looking at it.
But like, what about the rest of the Beckhams kids? Like, there's a peep out of them and there's no issues there at all.
There's also a lot of chatter about the brothers because, you see, following and unfollowing people in today's world now is a big thing for teenagers.
It is closing the door.
It is. And I think there's been quite a lot of unfollowing and following going on between the brothers and him and Nicola Peltz and all the rest of it. And Brooklyn alludes to that, I think, in the statement that, you know, my brothers have unfollowed me and they're blaming us for unfollowing them. And it's all about unfollowing. But that is the world that we live in now. And that is the currency.
It's a digital middle
young
finger,
people
isn't it? Yeah.
Dealing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Watch this space, lads. I've got to play you this clip. Ever wondered how Tom Cruise manages all those crazy stunts in Mission Impossible? Matt Damon has shared the secret. He was chatting to actors Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes. Have a listen to this.
They're the Tom Cruises of the world who do their stunts, literally hang off a plane and like do that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I had dinner with him once and it was after he did the one where he ran around the building.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I go, can you tell me how that happened? I mean, he's a really intense guy, and he's like, yeah, I'll tell you how it happened.
Yeah.
And he goes, I've been thinking about this shot for 15 years.
Wow, really?
He goes, so I go to the safety guy, and I lay it all out. Safety guy goes, we can't do that. It's too dangerous, you can't do that. So I get a new safety guy.
That's the beginning,
no
and I just
way.
Go, stop. That's where we're different.
Right.
Like, when the safety guy says no, I'm like, oh, safety guy says it's not a good idea.
Yeah,
there you go.
And that's why Tom Cruise is, when it comes to stunts, he's a lunatic. He's
absolutely.
No fear. Right, on the way to news at 8 o'clock. Did anyone have a prank done on them on their wedding day by any chance?
A prank?
You know, people love a good wedding prank.
Yeah.
You know, the best one I've ever seen, and I always remember, there was a lad that was getting married, and you know when they have to kneel down at the altar to get this part of the ceremony in the church,
yeah,
where the groom is kneeling down and the bride is kneeling down in front of the priest and he's doing some sort of a blessing, but on his shoes, on his shoes, they wrote HE and LP on the other shoe.
I love that.
The whole church,
oh, I love it,
was in ribbons. Like, you could clearly see in the bottom of his shoes spelled HELP.
That's top notch.
This involves, this is going around on Reddit, a true story involving a fella called Jack who was with his beloved the wedding day. Everything went to plan. Church was beautiful. Weather was perfect. But in the after party, where everybody was sitting down having their meal, all was going well, speeches were fine, there was no issues, but Jack was planning something.
Okay.
Jack was planning something involving his bride, had the digital team on standby to be positioned perfectly with the cameras, and as they cut the cake, as he insisted that his new beautiful wife take the knife and cut the cake, and he said, go in really close, go on, go in. And as she was about to put the knife in the cake, he buried her face into the bottom tier of the cake.
You can't do that.
Held her face down, only for her to emerge covered in cream and bits of blueberries hanging out her eyebrows. And everyone laughed and everyone cheered.
Are they still married?
She issued divorce proceedings the next day.
Yeah, you see.
The next day.
That's a bit over the top. I don't know if you need to get divorced.
That's horrendous.
But you can definitely be in a mood for about 2 weeks.
Oh, but it has surfaced that, like, she was the butt of jokes growing up in school. She was really sensitive about stuff like this happening. I've seen, you've seen videos where, brides and grooms are feeding each other wedding cake and they might put a bit of cream on their nose or something. You know, they're messing like that. But he buried her face in the cake.
Like, that's only going to go one way.
It is. Anyway.
She got the makeup done and everything.
Pretty expensive prank, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Big day for the wedding.
Was it worth it, though? What'd he say? Was it worth it? He'd probably say, yeah.
He chose pranks over his bride on that day, and it's game over, everybody.
That's right, baby. Girl, tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know, baby? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we make love. Tuesday night's the night that we go and visit your mother, but Wednesday night is the night that we make love. Cause everything is just right. Conditions are perfect. There's nothing good on TV. Conditions are perfect. You're leaning close and say something sexy like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. I know what you're trying to say, baby. You're trying to say, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business time.
That's what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, let's get down to business. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Next thing you know, we're in the bathroom, brushing our teeth. That's all part of it, that's foreplay. Then you go sort out the recycling. That's not part of it, but it's still very important. Then, we're in the bedroom. You're wearing that ugly old baggy t-shirt from that team building exercise you did for your old work. And it's never looked better on you.
An exercise, 99.
Oh, you don't know what you're doing to me. I remove my jeans, but trip over them because I still got my shoes on. But then I turn it into a sexy dance. Next thing you know, I'm down to just my socks. And you know when I'm down to just my socks, what time it is. It's time for business. It's business time.
Business, that's why they call business socks. It's business. It's business time.
making love. Making love for two. Making love for 2 minutes. When it's with me, you only need 2 minutes, cause I'm so intense. 2 minutes in heaven is better than 1 minute in heaven. You say something like, is that it? I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, oh yeah, that's it. Then you tell me you want some more. Well, I'm not surprised. But I'm quite sleepy. It's business. It's business time. Business hours are over, baby. It's business. It's business time.
The greatest love song of all time. Flight of the Conchords. And business time.
And that's the sport with Simply Suits.
It is indeed. Thank you, sir. 8:33 in the morning. You know, we like to celebrate Cork. You know, when big things happen and great things happen, we like to let you know what's going on. And, you know, I put in a lot of work yesterday. Yeah. I was talking to royalty. I was talking to Jamie the King.
Yeah.
Jamie Ford, who's in the Christie film.
That's right.
Because Jamie has been... He's been nominated for an IFTA.
Unbelievable.
Yay! Unbelievable. Well done.
Unbelievable.
And... we had everything set up and ready to go for 8:30 this morning. And I can say, good morning, Jamie.
Is he too busy for us?
I'm just looking at my phone there.
That's your phone, kid.
He was last online at 3:30 this morning. So Jamie was up. He's probably up talking to Tom Cruise or something. Fair play to you. So the king has slept in. All right, yeah. There's no problem. We'll talk. We will get him. Maybe before 9. It might be tomorrow. I have a feeling I'm going to have to go around to his house and do the interview
probably
with him. But listen, what an accomplishment for Jamie and for everybody else that's involved in Christie. It's been huge. Vic, you have the list and rundown of everybody there.
I do, yeah. So it's got Christie's nominated for Best Film, Best Director, and for its breakout star Daniel Power as Best Actor.
Okay.
Yeah, so do you want the rest of the nominations?
Yes, please.
Okay, we also have 12 Saipan. Got 12 nominations. Aina Hardwick and Steve Coogan, Best Actor, along with Cillian Murphy for Steve, Daniel Day-Lewis for Annom, and Colin Farrell for Ballad of a Small Player. And of course, lead actress in film nominees include Jessie Buckley for Hamnet and Kerry Condon for Formula One.
Fantastic. Have you seen Saipan
so
yet?
Challenge. Saw Saipan on Saturday.
What do you think?
Thought it was brilliant.
Really good.
I do have to say, I went, my friends Rachel and Aaron, and at the end, Rachel said, it would be great if he kind of played and they won, like.
It wouldn't it? It's like coming out. It's like coming out of Titanic. I can't believe it sunk. Yeah. You know, it's like.
I'm still laughing about it days later. Just, it was absolutely brilliant. But like, she's so right. You know, it would have been great if he played. And it would have been great if they won.
What would have happened, Roar, if Roy had stayed there? I mean, we got to the quarterfinals, didn't we, that year?
He would have won the World Cup. It's easy. Like, Roy would have won the World Cup on his own.
Did we get to the quarters though?
It hurts. It hurts to think that what could have happened had Roy Keane been there.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But he was still right, though.
Is he too old to talk out for March? For the
No, we give him a game.
Absolutely, 100%. There's war over some of the script in Saipan, by the way.
Yeah.
Because a load of the players now and people that were involved in the squad said, A, we weren't on the sauce every night drinking champagne and driving golf caddies into each other, or drive carts into each other. And none of that. There's going to be a bit of it. Like, I mean, there's going to be a bit of fictional drama thrown in there.
Dramatic license, yeah.
But everything that happened, that scene with Roy Keane and Mick McCarthy, the last 20 minutes, you know, where they're all in the room together, apparently that happened as it happened. So...
I still have no real massive desire to see it. I think I'm still too upset by the World Cup of 2002.
I can't believe you haven't got to see it yet.
It is great.
Anyway, a load of IFTAs coming their way. And hopefully for the snoozy king as well, Jamie.
Wake up, Jamie.
Go on, Jamie, wake up for the love of God. Thank you for listening to the 20-Minute Morning Show, the podcast from Red FM Breakfast with KC. We're live on air weekday mornings between 6 and 9 on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Have a good day. Red FM Breakfast
with KC. Love waking up in Cork.